Blog Talk Radio.
They get down now.
To the war room, we got Dez, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
We are dealing.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep your brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, it's a bad five ball, five time. Sports and violence, speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war ain't can wait. It's the war room. With five knights at the round table, five silly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, good folks of Radio Land? It's the last week of July, and you are back at the roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. Alongside me at the roundtable is James Williams, B. Austin, Akil Bayon, and Paul Johnson. Excuse me. The opening ceremonies of the 2012 Summer Olympic Games in London are one day away, so we'll be spending most of our time previewing some of our favorite games within the games. And, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't take our time to talk about the Penn State situation. So sit back, relax, and take in some great sports talk. Of course, we want you guys to chime in as usual, either in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call in and talk to us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, we'd like to plug a couple of our favorite shows. Make sure you check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out our Midwest family, JTP Coop and Juana Woolrich, of Ranked Top 5 Sports Radio in Chicago every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Blog Talk Radio as well. Lastly, don't forget that in addition to Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, our show is syndicated on NewVibeRadio.com every Friday at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m., Eastern Time. That's 6, noon, and 6 Central. Make sure you're always tuned in somewhere, somehow. Now that the fam is taken care of, let's give some birthday shout-outs.
My birthday! Yay!
What's up, good brothers? It's tonight that night.
Yeah. Yo, it's hot as heck outside.
Yeah, it's very, very warm in these parts.
So,
Olympics are starting tomorrow. Opening ceremonies. You know, we got the Penn State near death penalty situation. I think it's going to be a good night.
Man, that's beyond death.
Yeah, let's get into these birthdays real quick. The first birthday we got is one Mr. John Allen Berry. John Berry turns 43 today.
Yay!
Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of John Berry?
I think of a gentleman who had a long career in a league that wasn't commensurate with his talent, but he's actually becoming more of a popular in broadcasting than he did as a player. And I think about the Berry family and their contributions to basketball, considering their pop was that dude, but I guess it's, you know, their sons weren't as good as the pop. Usually that's the other way around.
Yeah.
You think of father-son combination, but it is what it is.
Personally, I think that pregame show that they do is terrible with John Berry, Magic, Wilbon, and Chris Broussard. Nothing against the brothers personally, but, you know, Magic still hasn't grasped the English language. Broussard has trouble with it himself, even though he has good information at times. Mike Wilbon knows nothing about sports. And John Berry, he takes everything personal. Like, everything, every prediction he makes is about who he likes and who he doesn't like. And then they flip-flop a lot. But other than that, shout-out to my brothers in the radio biz and the TV biz. What's up, brother?
Damn,
Austin, what do you think of? What do you think of John
Berry?
You got
to hit him up.
John Berry is, like, outside of, like, Drew, he's the Berry that was, like, unnecessary. Like, it just had an extra Berry around, and he happened to get in the league somehow. He could shoot.
No,
but,
yo,
he
real
could
talk,
shoot.
Though, he had about like a 14, I think 13 to 14
yo,
year
he,
career.
No, no, he was in the league. He was in the league forever. And I also do recall one particular instance where he played some immaculate D, where he like got inside of Kobe's jersey somehow, and Kobe still hit like three shots on him straight. And that's the best D that that's some of the best D I've ever seen played on B, and it didn't really matter. But yeah, besides that, he does take everything personal. He is a homer, and he's not very good. And Magic Johnson sounds like a Fat Albert character.
A homer to
who? I'm about to ask you, where's his home? Because I don't even know where his home is.
He had like 19 teams he played on. Homer to which one?
Yo,
watch
that.
I can't believe he's 43 either.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows you.
Just
he retired just a few years back. So, like Jimmy said, he had a nice long career.
Yeah, he built his pension up. You know what I'm
saying? He was nothing special. He was a solid player. But our next birthday is one Mr. Joe Leonard Smith. He turns 37 today.
My birthday, yay!
Joe Smith, the former number one pick. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Joe Smith?
I think of Maryland. At Maryland, he was tough. Joe Smith was tough. And it seems like and feels like he played actually longer than John Barry, even though he's 6 years younger. And he's still trying to get a paycheck from someone because he is not retired.
Oh, Joe Smith gets signed every year. He does not have a problem getting on a roster. And the thing is, I mean, you would think that he is a good enough veteran to contribute, but when he does get on a roster, he rarely gets minutes. So that's the confusing part to me. But when I think
he's
of Joe
good
Smith,
he's good in practice.
When I think of Joe Smith, I think about the video game Coach K from back in like 95 because I used to use the Maryland team because Joe Smith was tough and, you know, their whole starting five was tough. So I used to use them and he was kind of unfair to use because he was the best player in college basketball at the time. But I think of the game Coach K when I think of Joe Smith.
Jimmy. I definitely remember that game. And I also go to college. It shows you just how great his pro career was. But, you know, from a collegiate standpoint, like he was a 20-10 guy. I know that doesn't sound like much, but in college, there's not that many 20-10 guys in college. You know, you can be a dominant player in college and you know, put up 15 a game. But
you're right.
This dude was like, you know what I'm saying? This dude was a 20-10 guy in college and was like very, very dominant.
Because, you know, in college, you know, they're playing a lot of zones and stuff like that. So it's exactly what Jimmy said. A lot of people can go to college, you know, and be considered a scorer at like 15 a game and then come average 25 a game in the NBA because the game is a little more open and you can actually do what you do. It's not as structured as the college game. And you're getting paid, so you no longer have to listen to your coach. So, you know.
Yeah, he was definitely a 20-10 guy. Like both seasons, he was right around 20-10 for Maryland, and he was definitely a dominant player. He's one of the more dominant college players I've seen, along with like Big Dog and Tim Duncan. But
yeah, I mean, you remember how Golden State thought they was the shazzle when they got him? Like, he got Joe Smith.
I mean, you just never know how the skills will translate to the next level. I think it becomes more mental than physical. So, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, he's another one though. Solid career. He's lasted a long time. We're gonna be saying the same thing about Kwame Brown in about 10 years.
Is Joe Smith
not
a bust?
See, here's the thing with that.
He was never
considering your pick, never a superstar. He was picked number one, and a lot of times, you know, that can actually hurt your career because if Joe Smith was picked in, say, the second round, he had high expectations. He just didn't live up to them. So I guess you can't.
He wasn't
call him
picked
a
in the second round, though.
Yeah,
that's what
he's
I'm
not
saying.
Kwame.
That's why
he,
I guess you
he,
can't
he's
call
not
him
a Kwame. He's not a Kwame, but I guess you can give him the bus tag a little bit.
And I think Kwame also is hurt by the fact that Mike picked him, too, so that puts extra pressure on him.
But
I don't think Kwame was better than me.
Our next birthday, and I'm upset that this weirdo got my middle name, is Delonte Maurice West. Delonte West turns 29 today. B. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Delonte West?
I'm going to give a shout-out to Delonte because I'm Dr. Akil Bayon, and I spent many a night playing ball and run and shoot. And so we got to see the young man grow from a high school player to balling with the homie from down in Orlando, Jameer Nelson, at St. Joe's, and he would come home. And, yeah, he turned into a weirdo, but he's the perfect case study for watch out for the quiet dudes, because Delonte West would bust your ass and wouldn't say. I've only heard him say, like, three words. I've only ever heard him say, like, three things.
Yeah.
Ever.
I mean, I probably never heard him talk until, like, last year when he had that series of YouTube videos out. It seemed like he opened up
and
a little bit on YouTube. And that was some of the weirdest stuff I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was off his meds. He was spitting bars in KFC drive-thru.
Yeah, him and his homie was, like, waiting for a hookup at KFC in the driveway, in the parking lot. And was spitting bars for, like, 10 minutes straight.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, though. When you think of Delonte West now, you think of King James. And, you know, it's kind of, like, even if that didn't happen, it's like, it doesn't even matter at this point because, it's like, when you think of him, you automatically think of that.
I'd say he's a good father figure because LeBron got his act together and won that championship, so I think a lot of that guidance came from.
I wasn't even going to go there. I wasn't even going to go there, but I'm just saying that when you think of Delonte West, you can't help but to think of LeBron and Gloria.
Hawks,
Gloria! Yeah, you can't help but to think of, you know, man. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Jimmy, how do you think Delonte and Gloria celebrated LeBron's championship?
Shit, I'm not going there, man. Like, I'm not going to slander this man's mother. I don't know
when
she
was kissing everybody at halftime. Delonte might have to wait his turn. Anyway, our next birthday, our last birthday, is one Mr. Walter Jerry Sweetness Payton. This is an RIP shout out. Walter was born July 26th. 1954, actually it was yesterday, July 25th, 1954, and he died November 1st, 1999.
Yay!
I want to give a shout out to Sweetness, man. He's one of the top four or five running backs
ever
in NFL history.
Because
I said four or five, everybody who thinks he's one or two, one and two falls within four or five. So, you know,
yeah, I know. But
I don't want to hear you getting upset.
This is Jimmy here, and I personally do have him at number one, and that's because I just never seen Jim Brown play live. But I have.
Well, you weren't supposed to tell the people that, because later on in the summer we were going to have our greatest running back of all time show. So you didn't told everybody yet.
I'm probably going to rock with Terrell Davis when we do that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm going to keep it funky with you. Like,
yo,
you know what I mean? But he may fall a couple spots just because his nickname was Sweetness, and no grown man should have a nickname of Sweetness.
I ain't calling no other man delicious.
I'm saying that might be a Chicago thing, though. Look at the Wayne Wade.
Whoa. I always look for reasons to rip the bear, so let's go.
Zing!
Yeah.
So, yo, RIP to Sweetness.
Up until
we weren't going to call him that. Go ahead.
Up until Barry Sanders, I would say I had never seen anything like Walter Payton. So he's definitely in my top five dead or alive.
I like how everybody's giving their answers after I just said that we having the show on this. Like, come on, man. But, like we said, RIP to Walter. I got to give a special birthday shout-out. My little boy, Chase Alexander McMillan, he turned one today. So shout-out to the little man. We've been out all day doing stuff, and he has no idea what we've been doing. Took him to the zoo in D.C., but the National Zoo, this is like my fourth time being there ever, and they still don't have animals. I mean, now I know why the admission is free, because you just walk around the land.
Happy birthday. Shout out to Cam. And so you took him to Redskins camp there.
To the zoo, saw a couple animals, you know, RG3, couple chicks, couple monkeys.
A rat
and also, friend of the program, James and Jamie Onque, they just had a little girl today, Jayla Onque. So, shout out to the Onque family. Mom and baby is good. We'll get James on the show, and we can smoke the proverbial cigar with him on the air. But that's the birthdays to today. By the way, birthdays were brought to you this week by Bay Financial Services. Go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on our sponsors link, find Bay Financial Services, click on it, get your money right. Jimmy, tell these people what happened while they were on the grind.
No doubt. While you were on the grind, it's brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. Visit the website at PhillyAutoDesign.com or go to warroomsports.com and click on their logo. You know, you get you some accessories and rims for your car. You know, it's summer, so take care of your whip. Anyway, people, this is Jimmy, a.k.a. Big Papa. And first story I want to talk about is Cal Ripken. That's right. Cal Ripken is back in the news. His mother was kidnapped and then returned. Yo, who's kidnapping Cal Ripken's mom, man? Like, what's good?
Yo, where do we live, in South America or something? Like, yo, this is crazy.
Yo, they gripped my man's
not
mom.
Not too far from, you know, from where me and Austin stay. Like, this is in Aberdeen, Maryland, right outside of Baltimore, basically. She's 74 years old. She was kidnapped Tuesday at gunpoint outside her home, and was driven around blindfolded by her abductor. They found her the next day in the backseat of her car, bound and gagged. And she, you know, she's safe. Dude didn't do anything to her. I guess he didn't get any money. I guess he couldn't go through with it. Or either, if you live in the Baltimore area and you're a baseball fan, and Cal Ripken is your hero, no matter how old you are. So it might have been a situation where he found out that he had Cal Ripken's mother, and he probably let her go and then went and killed himself or something.
Yo,
that's how much they love Cal Ripken in Baltimore.
Yeah. Do Cal Ripken got an album coming out or something?
I know, right? He had to get it.
He got a new TV show,
radio show or something.
It sounds like some made up stuff, man. Where do we live at, B?
I know what happened. Stringer Bell and Avon made that phone call, and she was okay. Cal Ripken will make it into the Hall of Fame, and he was a great player. He probably already is in the Hall, but if they didn't put him in the Hall, the entire city of Baltimore would have sunk the country to get him into the Hall. Like,
I mean, the way Baltimore looks is already sinking the country.
Yo, dude can do no wrong in Baltimore.
Yo, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, no, I was about to say, this is how nice the dude was for her, though. She said he lit cigarettes for her. They stopped for food. He said, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to take you back.
The gunman originally planned
to put tape over her eyes, but she told him that she was claustrophobic, so he didn't do it. Like, this dude need, like, some kidnapping 101 classes, because he's not very good at what he does. He's too nice to be a kidnapper. How you kidnap somebody and treat him better than you probably treat yourself?
He's an average kidnapper, but then again, like, Calvin was an average player who was overrated, but we can get into that a whole other time. We can get into that a whole other time, you know what I'm saying? That's just my personal opinion for those out there, and all y'all in Baltimore don't like it, FOH.
well, this kidnapper, though, this boy, you know, just to close this out, he really need to take a trip down to Venezuela or something and learn his craft, because he is weak.
Take a trip to Venezuela, get him a little. Hey, yo, real quick, in our chat room, they let us know that we missed a birthday this past week. Barry Bonds' birthday was Monday, so I don't know if y'all want to say something about Brother Barry Bonds.
Nope.
Okay. Cool.
Good looking
cool,
out,
anyway.
Steroids.
No doubt. Let's talk about Austin's homie, Chad Ochocinco, a.k.a. Chad Johnson. He's actually going back to that name. He's getting rid of the whole Ochocinco thing and going back to Johnson. So, Austin, what are your thoughts on this name change?
It sounds like Brother Dev wants to really weigh in on this quickly.
No, I was just going to say, like, didn't we report this last year? He said he was going to do this last year, and he never did it. But this time, you know why he did it, because
Evelyn,
he married the chick, and
she didn't want
her last name to be his gimmick last name, so she forced him to change it back. So, you know,
the
Evelyn.
Things we do for the witch. Evelyn made a ruling, and Chad fell asunder and acquiesced to her ruling. But I actually expect, believe it or not, I predict a pretty big season for Chad. I'm going to say that Chad catches 80 passes for 1,067 yards this year.
Okay, and what quarterback on the Miami Dolphins are going to complete 80 passes this year?
I don't even know who their quarterback is. Matt Moore?
I mean, he's one of them. But, but Matt Moore, he ain't no total bum, but I don't know if this is where Ocho needs to be to have a comeback season. But I mean, we'll see. I've always been a fan of dudes, you know, even through
a place where he can do what he wants to get open. That's what he's used to in Cincinnati. Just do what he wants and he get open.
Yeah, you say that.
No structure.
I keep hearing people say, "Don't be surprised if they end up cutting him." So we'll see.
Wow.
If he even makes the team, they probably use him for.
That's a huge disparity. You talking about someone catch 80 passes and someone gets cut?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm gonna take a safe answer. I'm gonna say somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 0 and 80.
Somewhere between 0 and 80. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and he falls. He falls somewhere between Jerry Rice and Todd Pinkston.
Oh God. Yo, man. A couple more stories real quick. Austin's other homie, Brett Favre, should be offensive coordinator at Mississippi High School. So he can't just fall back. He wants to put his name in the news again. Anyway, what do you guys think about Brett Favre taking the job as the OC at Mississippi High School?
I don't know, me. I don't dislike Favre like Jimmy. Jimmy do make a couple good points on that, though. But at the same time, this is like you said, Favre has turned into, like, I've never seen a prima donna or, like, a diva from the country like him before. Like, he's a country diva.
Yeah.
You don't see that
outside of
country music. Like, Reba McEntire and them, you don't see country divas.
This dude took the job. People saying, well, he's only taking her to high school. I saw even Austin make a comment on Facebook about him giving back.
I don't think he's giving back, though, Jimmy. I think, like, by week three, he's going to suit up.
Yo,
not in the NFL for the high school. Like, he's trying to get dude's spot.
First of all, here's another thing. You're taking a job from someone who probably should be the OC. You know what I mean? So you're taking a job.
You might need that $30,000 check.
You doing an interview with the NFL Network about you taking this job. What did they do? He did an interview about him taking a job with NFL Network.
Well, you know that high school happy. They're getting some pub.
He gets from the interview, and they ask him about his last couple of seasons. They say, why, what made you want to come back for the Vikings? And instead of third, he was like, because they paid enough. Did you guys see that? Did you guys see that? He said, he admitted it.
He gave me the quant.
Deion was interviewing him, and Favre basically admitted. He said that the number was right. They offered the money. And Deion actually got up and shook his hand and was like, I respect
you
for admitting it.
This is the cat who once made a video that said that was entitled Must Be the Money.
Must Be the Money.
You know,
but Deion actually paid him homage. Deion was like, you said what? He repeated it like, yeah, it was about the money. He said, man, I respect you for that.
They should have played that in the background when he said that. Must be the money.
He just gave me more reasons to realize how fraudulent he is. But go ahead, B. Austin. Go ahead and tell me how great he is.
Yo, you got that hate in your blood. Brother, you got to get it out of it. You got to get it out. It's unbecoming. I don't have any problem with it. I mean, with his stature and who he is he divish? Yeah, he does have some divish tendencies. But, I mean, him being who he is and not that far removed from the game, and people always seem to like to make a big deal about what he does. He takes the attention because we pay it to him. I mean, I don't mind him being an offensive coordinator. I think he has something of value to give, and who's to say that he doesn't want to give back? I mean, I really don't care. I don't want to make a story of it, for real.
Listen, man.
So hey, Dawson, I don't mean to cut you off, but we were just talking about Dolphins quarterbacks, and they're talking about how their rookie, number 8 pick, Ryan Tannehill, is still not signed. So,
yeah.
They drafted somebody in the first round,
really,
and dude
good
won't
either.
Sign his contract, so.
With him being OC, do you think he'll teach the kids to try to throw it even though nobody's open to throw a pick?
I mean, you gotta throw receivers open, brother.
Listen, man. All right, no more. And I got one last thing to say, man. The words of my homie Jules, man. Cats with far tendencies get found where the maggots be. So, I mean, that's all I gotta say about that, young man. Another quick story.
Hey, look.
Six Broncos and former Bronco B-Doc visits a movie theater shooting victims in Aurora Hospital. This was a sad story this past week. You gentlemen have anything you want to say about this?
First of all, B-Doc.
My condolences to the family and you know, being as though I'm a Brian Dawkins Stanley and all, I think that the Wolverine is real, and I think that he's on the case. And, He's helping them fight. He's helping them fight the Joker, which Batman can't do.
I was about to say, well, dude think he the Joker, so they might need the Wolverine on this.
Yeah,
one.
They might need the Wolverine. Yo, Batman. Awesome. Batman. Listen, Batman is a fumbler, and y'all know who I'm talking about. Batman is a fumbler in the NFL in this dimension. Wolverine is real.
Yo, hey, all I'm saying is, man, I respect you for calling yourself a Stan and admitting your Stanleyism.
Oh yeah, I'm a Brian. I'm totally subjective and biased.
I want to give props to the 6 current Broncos, though, because we did just make it all about Brian Dawkins. he was joined by lineman Ryan Clady, Chris Cooper, and Ben Garland, receiver Eric Decker, and tight end Jacob Tammy. Also, Peyton Manning didn't go, but Peyton Manning called for patients who were taken to the medical center of Aurora after the shooting. So, you know, the Broncos, they're saying basically it's the least we can do, you know. It's one of those things where they really didn't
really
want a story made up.
Yeah,
it's
really
the
much
least
you
can
do in a situation like that, man.
And I really don't want to get off on a tangent because, for once, we're actually on time.
I just want to
take the country to task for one, because why isn't this dude being referred to as a terrorist? Like, how come when how come when an American citizen does something like this, it's not considered an act of terror? He killed 12 people, shot like, you know, countless others.
Yo.
Same thing in Virginia Tech, same thing in Columbine. You never hear the word terrorist behind them.
Because their last
let
name
somebody
is
of
Muhammad,
Arab or Muslim descent, or, you know, let somebody like that do it, and it's a terror act, no matter what their story was.
That's a very valid point, and I'm not going to get on my Malcolm Farrakhan West soapbox, but I will say this. He shot 71 people. I've never even seen or heard of anything such. Like, that's some movie stuff.
Yeah. First
he
of all,
shot seven.
What kind of
how
aim does
you
he
shoot
have?
That many people.
I was about to say, what kind of? Because at first I was thinking, like, dude must have had like a tech or something that was spraying off more than one shot at a time. And they were saying, no, he didn't. So I'm like, what kind of aim does this dude have? Where has he been practicing that he can get 71 people? Like. In that situation, I mean, it's easy to say because I wasn't there, but I don't know if I'm getting got with one dude walking around shooting.
71 kinda. People. Last time I heard of 71 people getting shot at one time, it was like on a Jay Hood album. But my thing is this, though. It's like, that whole thing was a disgrace. No. Like, he definitely should have been considered a terrorist because it was an act of terrorism, but... Again, I don't want to get on my soapbox either.
There are American citizens. There are American citizens that the terrorist laws have been used on, and they actually were in Philadelphia. I ain't gonna go no further.
All right, let's not go there either, man. Let's stop. But listen, though, I have one more quick story I want to bring to you guys. It's another, a deeper topic than we usually get into. But you guys heard about the whole Chick-fil-A coming out saying they don't support gay marriage or what have you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Boston Bruins goaltender Tim Thomas, he actually wrote a long post today on his Facebook page saying that he agrees with Chick-fil-A and he supports them in their stance. So it actually
we expect that from Tim Thomas. He's very outspoken politically. That's something we can definitely get into at a later time. Awesome.
Yeah,
you want to tell these people how to get in contact with us? Or you want me to do that?
By all means, I would like to tell these folks how they can get with us. Because we are get-wittable. Check out our website, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, the world's best sports newsletter. It's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, be sure and click on the memorabilia tab to purchase War Room Sports merchandise, and then click on the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the world's greatest sports blog, All's Fair in Sports and War. That's All's Fair in Sports and War, War Room Sports blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app
on your Android or Apple device. Watch our videos at WarRoomSportsTV.com. That's right, multimedia there, folks, WarRoomSportsTV.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now as the show is going on at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about our show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host live, on the line, on air, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012 and press 1 when prompted. That's 323-410-0012, and make sure you press 1. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 and you can talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so raise your hand, and one of the professors may just call on you. So what's going on in the chat room? Anything on Twitter, Facebook, chat room?
People questioning why he wasn't, you know, considered a terrorist. But, you know, we ain't going to get into that. You know, we trying to keep it, you know.
Yeah, Casey Mack, you know, he's saying, you know, y'all know why he ain't a terrorist. You know, I told him, yeah, we definitely know why. But, you know, we got to question the system in public on our little forum. Maybe, you know, if we question them publicly, maybe we can get some answers. But let's get into some hot topics right quick. Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/WarRoomSports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. So what's going on this week? I remember last week we talked about the Philadelphia Flyers offering defenseman Shea Weber a 14-year, $110 million offer sheet. Well, he's going to stay in Nashville because the Predators have matched the offer, so he's going to get his 14-year, $110 million from his current team. The Yankees acquired Ichiro for 2 pitching prospects. That kind of came at a good time because A-Rod was hit in the hand with a pitch, broke his hand, and he will be out 6 to 8 weeks. Do y'all think A-Rod's absence will do anything to stop the evil empire who, if I believe, should be, well, as of yesterday, I believe they were like a half game behind, drum roll please, the Washington Nationals for the best record in baseball. I know we're talking about the Yankees, but real quick on the Nationals thing, you don't know, because, you know, I have to be around this area. Man, the Nationals bandwagon and ran past my house about 43 times in the last 10, 12 days, and I see people on this bandwagon who I know for a fact didn't even like baseball about 25 days ago. It's crazy how if a team in your area gets good, you just, like, lose all pride and integrity and act like you're going to fail. Like,
I think
some teams are worse than others,
national,
but it's that way everywhere.
Yeah. I talked to a quote-unquote Nationals fan, a young lady, and she shall remain nameless. I want to protect the guilty. And she didn't know what a top or a center fielder was. And she was screaming Nationals all
day.
Well,
actually, Austin, that doesn't prove anything, though, because the Nationals are usually so bad. I mean, why would they? They never had a center fielder.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Zing! But, yeah, the A-Rod thing, do y'all think that'll do anything to halt that evil empire train that's barreling down the tracks?
Let's see what the homie PJ, a.k.a. Kuda Love from up above, thinks.
I don't think so, because A-Rod hasn't been having that good of a season this year. So, I mean, it's not like he's been playing bad, but he hasn't been playing, like, lights out. And even though Ichiro is a Asian artifact, I still think that he can still hit. Again, Ichiro hasn't been having a good season either. So I think they will cancel each other out, and it's really not going to affect the evil empire at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, they have so much talent on that team. They can lose pretty much anybody for a stretch, and it, you know, it really doesn't matter. So I agree with PJ. I don't think it's going to do anything to halt that train. You know, where they have to – I mean, we know what the Yankees are going to do year after year in the regular season. What they have to do is in the playoffs.
On a side note, I saw that pitch that hit him in the hand, and that jump looked painful, yo. He dropped like he got shot, yo. He dropped like somebody shot him. I was like, damn.
The thing was, it was a changeup. It wasn't even a fastball. It was like – but it was still like an 88-mile-an-hour changeup. So it was like, so what is not a fastball? If dude could throw an 88-mile-an-hour changeup, just imagine, you know – if it was a fastball, he might have just shattered the hand, and A-Rod might have died from bone shattering.
His career would have been done.
It hit him on one of them bones that ain't got no meat on it. No shock absorption.
Or he might have hit him on one of them roid hands. He'd be all right. All right, so the Phillies, this was a story that I saw mixed feelings on this one. The Phillies re-signed Cole Hamels to a 6-year, $144 million deal. Now, that deal is the second largest contract ever for a major league pitcher. Now, everybody on here is a Phillies fan, pretty much. So, do y'all feel anything, you know, about it? Y'all think it's way too much?
Between the three pitchers, like, they have so much money invested that,
$95 million next year, I think.
Yo, just in like
just on three players,
right?
Ryan Howard is in there.
Not even the
Holiday.
Pitchers.
You're
talking about Ryan Howard.
I'm talking about the pitchers. I'm talking about Clint Lee,
okay.
Doc Holliday, and Hamels. Now, just between those three, they have so much money invested. Like I mean, you know, pitching hasn't really been the problem, but with the run support.
That's the funny thing though, because back when they won and they were trying to defend, pitching was the problem.
I know.
The Phillies could score runs at will. Now, when they get the pitching and you think you got yourself a little super team there, everybody, you know, with their bats seem to have gotten old overnight and they can't get any runs. So that's a crazy thing.
Outside of the Yankees being able to literally purchase championships, I don't believe in buying championships. And I also think that perhaps the cliche that defense wins championships doesn't really apply for us because, and everyone knows I'm not the biggest baseball enthusiast in the world, but I do hold my Phillies near and dear to heart. Yo, we have no offense. Like, we have no offense.
Well, they've been winning a little bit lately, but the problem is what we just spoke about. The Nats keep winning too, so we're not making up any ground every time we win one of these games because the Nationals are on fire.
And all my brothers on here with sons, man. And if I'm ever blessed to have one, need to figure out a way to make him a left-handed pitcher.
all of the top five contracts to pitchers
are all the left-handed pitchers.
You ain't
like,
about
baseball,
to be good.
History.
I'm about to force
you ain't gotta be good.
Left,
just
I don't
be
care what hand he's trying to use. I'm gonna keep making
My homie
CeCe, they straight pulled the Brinks truck up to his crib. His shake was crazy.
But Jimmy, the odd man out of this again might end up being Cliff Lee. He's having the worst year out of all of them, and they're thinking they're gonna have to trade somebody, you know, to accommodate this contract, and it might end up being Cliff Lee being traded for some offense. You know, I like the fact, ever since they did it, I like the fact of having all these pitchers on the team, but I guess they're going to have to do what they're going to have to do, but I don't want to see any of them leave, but we suck.
Yeah, a couple quick things from our chat room. Monty215 said that if the fastball would have hit A-Rod in his hand instead of the changeup, it would have exploded like that bird that Randy Johnson hit. and Leroy McConnell said that CeCe is actually the only one living up to his contract because he got the money, but he's actually performed as well.
Cole just got his a couple days ago, so we don't know. And, you know, a lot of people have been complaining because Cole's now making more than Doc Holliday. Okay, I, of course, Doc Holliday is the best pitcher on the team, but last I checked, Cole Hamels is the only person on the team who's a World Series MVP. So,
hello.
You know. you can't forget that, you know, they might be throwing a couple million in there for what he's done for the championship-starved city of Philadelphia. So
shout out to Brent.
You have to take that into account. You have to.
And also, real quick to your point about, like, not being able to spend money, that may be true, but I know that, you know, growing up watching a lot of the Philadelphia teams, we were never the city that did spend money. We were always complaining about, like, ownership needs to spend money. So at least they're putting that effort forth at this point, you know, because being a team that, you know, is cheap and you grow up watching them, you say, damn, they'll never spend money to get players. And, you know, I'm going to be on the other side where at least they put the effort.
Now we blowing money fast and everybody mad.
Yeah, and now we beat them up.
Now we got Rick Ross as a GM.
This kind of thing is different. This
Rick Amaro.
Because I heard a lot of people saying, like, the Phillies got robbed. That was stupid. But in baseball, it's different because baseball is a game of haves and have-nots. There's no salary cap. So it's not like it's not like in basketball when you pay, you know, two dudes most of your salary cap and then you got to fill the team with bums. If you can afford to do this, then you do this. You know, the Yankees, they can afford to do it. Philly, what they've done in the past, you know, 6 to 8 years, that market has grown. You know, they sell out all the time. They got money to do it. Hey, go ahead and do it. But don't trade Cliff Lee. That's all I'm saying. But the NBA this week, the Board of Governors met and they made some rule changes, and they're considering some future rule changes. The ones that they've made were basically all around the replay for things like flagrant fouls. You can actually go to the replay now to judge to see if something was a flagrant one or flagrant two, and in rare cases you can even, you know, bring it back down to a regular foul if you don't feel that the foul was actually flagrant. That's one of the big things that they changed. There were a couple more. I'll get to that in a minute because I'm a little more interested in what they're considering. They're going back to the table in a few months to consider some rule changes that will try to combat flopping, and that's what I want to see because flopping is rampant in the NBA, and I'm getting a little tired of it. What about you, brothers?
Man,
yeah,
I don't
want to
go on my tirade.
I mean, it's like a skill. We have to learn how to jump under somebody and fall right before they touch you. Like, it's like, I mean, I don't – it's part of the game, but it's a weird skill to perfect. I mean, Shane Battier might be, you know, teaching it.
Put Shane Battier to death.
That'll stop flopping.
Yo, real quick.
You're talking about giving dudes the flopping death penalty.
Real quick, DJ and Dev, Monty in our chat room wants to point out that, incidentally, yesterday was the Phillies' 254th consecutive sellout.
CHS 254?
Dang.
So the people listening have no idea what that means? But
not at all. But the Phillies, but it goes to your point in terms of how they're selling out. Like, you know, because that's a couple of years. But 254 games is how many years? You know, you only keep so many
homes. Yeah, that's not consecutive. They might have missed one or two here and there. And just messed up the streak, but this is just the consecutive. You know what I mean?
I'm tripping at 80. I'm bugging out. It would be 81. So, like 3 years. Yeah, almost 3 years.
Damn near.
But 3 years.
And then another rule that they changed, the officials now use video replay in the final 2 minutes of overtime to decide whether a defender was in or out of the restricted area around the basket on charge and blocking goal.
Around the basket.
And replay can also be used for goaltending calls late stages of games as well. You're about to just make this whole joint a video game.
I mean, here's a couple of things, man. First off, a couple of rule changes I personally would like to see. I would like to see them force players to go bald when their hairline starts in the middle of their head. I would like to see them force ESPN to take Dwight Howard's name off the bottom of their ticker every day for not doing anything. You know, so these are a couple of the changes I like to see in terms of the NBA. It's like they don't want to get to the nitty gritty, man. Get rid of charging altogether.
And the last thing that they're considering, and the people on our Facebook page this week kind of felt this consideration a little egregious. They're thinking about possibly adding $100 million in revenue by permitting small advertising patches on uniforms starting in the 13-14 season. I mean, I know the league loses money, and if this is a way to generate $100 million, who am I to tell somebody not to generate $100 million? But at the same time, it seemed like kind of a cheap and cheesy way to generate revenue. But however,
rather than contract the league and improve and do things to improve the product, we decide to continue with unnecessary teams, not improve the product, but sell out, dumb down our basketballs to double our dollars. Okay.
Hey, look,
if somebody simulcasted our show and told all of us on our War Room Sports T-shirts to put like a DirecTV patch, a Best Buy patch, would you do it?
Uh-huh.
Right,
well, here's the thing. Our product, our product for what we do is hotter than what the NBA puts out at their level. So,
and our product ain't like 70 years old, so they need to
shape
up.
Listen,
we ain't water ourselves down.
They about to be NASCAR'd up.
Yeah, I was expecting this like years ago. I said, when is it going to come? Eventually, it's going to happen. I mean, if it doesn't happen now, it's going to happen. I mean, it's already done in the WNBA. It's done in soccer. It's done in NASCAR. Like, you know, I'm surprised that the NFL hasn't already done that, considering how money hungry they are. But
you know,
it's going to happen.
The funny thing that's going to happen, and the difference with what we're talking about now is, women's basketball is inconsequential. No knock to the WNBA.
Damn.
But now you have NBA players just like other celebrities or entertainers.
You're going to say somebody's life is meaningless, no knock.
I know. Damn.
I'll get to it. Don't take it the wrong way. There's no disrespect, but y'all game doesn't mean anything. The stars in the NBA are their own brands, so they have brand relationships. So I think there's going to be some complications when you see, okay, X player has a relationship with Nike, but now prominently displayed on their uniform as a New Balance logo. It already is that way.
I mean, you already have players that are sponsored by Nike. Adidas makes the jerseys now, don't they?
Yeah, they do, but it's not prominently displayed.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So
the large majority of people don't know that. Like,
they can't because there's a lot of people wearing those jerseys who are sponsored by other people, so they can't make some big old drawn patch. But hey.
But here's the thing, though: it's like you're having the ability to generate revenue from playing in their league, so they tell you that, listen, you can play in my league and get this contract, but these are the stipulations that come along with it. I mean, people have to conform. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but this is what's going to happen. It's going to happen.
This could work out for the sponsors too, because if I buy a sponsorship in the whole uniform patch thing, then I'm cutting a couple of guys off of my sponsorship.
You ain't never lied.
Why I gotta pay LeBron to advertise Gatorade if it's gonna be on his jersey anyway? So people looking at his jersey and say Gatorade, they're gonna think LeBron Gatorade.
No.
I can take away that $100 million
I
was giving.
I don't think it's going to happen like that. I think the larger sponsors, because
kind of
fans and folks relate to it. But, you know, almost every NBA player has a small sponsorship relate. So guys like, say, Alex Acker, he's going to feel the heat, because I'm no longer going to sign Alex Acker because I don't need to.
Basically, the rich get richer and the poor don't get an effing thing.
Poor don't get a
fucking
thing.
Exactly.
Just like the
Booby, Booby Gibson,
exactly.
He gets no sponsorship dollars.
It's just like Kareem.
Understandably so. Booby Gibson shouldn't get air to breathe.
Think that Booby Miles getting.
Jody Meeks gets no sponsorship dollars now.
Yo, in our chat room, Monty's on fire. He says after Chris Bosh's Bukkake episode with the champagne, he thinks that post-game championship celebration should be banned.
We put that on the rules. We're going to make some rules, and we're going
to ask our listeners. We're going to do that
on Facebook tomorrow. So everybody look out for that. We're going to make a post. And new rules for the NBA, and then we're going to submit it to them.
No Young Money jeans. But anyway.
No women's clothing.
No slingshots.
I just wanted to tell y'all. I mean, we ain't got to talk about it because it's ridiculous, man. There have been 27 off-season arrests in the NFL. NFL players during the offseason. 27 arrests. Aaron Berry has been arrested twice. And Detroit just gave up on him. Like,
damn, huh?
Yo, and this is just a shot in the dark, but I would say at least 80% of these arrests are DWI or DUI. Yo, these dudes don't have... Yo, that's one thing that you can never say about Allen Iverson. As many times as I've seen that dude between D.C. and Philly back during his playing days, I have never once in my life seen that man drive a car. Never. That's one thing you can't say about Tuck. He don't drive drunk because he don't drive. Now, the other boy might be driving, might have a gun in his waist, a gun under his seat, but AI not driving drunk.
Yo, to your point, Dev, even when Carmelo had a high-dollar contract, the boy AI used to get Melo to drive him around.
Yo, real
AI
cool.
used to get cats without licenses to drive him.
Yeah. I think Roger Goodell, he's going to have a field day, you know, after training camp is over with the suspension list. But, you know, Dez Bryant, we talked about him last week. Him and his mom went on the press conference acting like there's no beef. So he must have gave her a couple dollars or something.
His mom, like our age.
Yeah, exactly.
She might be younger than us a little bit.
Her mom was like,
she had him at 14 or 12 or something.
Yo, PJ, his mom was like 2'5", 2".
Like, yo, his mom had him when she was like 12. And Dez Bryant like what, 23? So she like 35.
Yeah, no, straight up. His mom did have him at 14. She had him at 14.
Yo.
Yeah, he's 23.
She's 37. You're right. She'd have been in 2'5", 2". She's 37. Straight up.
That's
yo,
crazy.
Yo, man, I got to say,
did y'all hear about
the bottom line is these guys out of control, man.
Did y'all hear about Ryan Khalil, the center from the Carolina Panthers, who took a full-page ad out in the Charlotte Observer to basically say to the fans that the Carolina Panthers are going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, I saw that.
I wish I could say I didn't, but I heard.
All I got for him is FOH. If y'all, you know, y'all can go ahead and rock with that if you want. If not,
I really have nothing to say about that. We can move on to some of the topics because
I think FOH sums
nothing.
It up. I think FOH sums it up.
But also, people like, you know, I mean, players are supposed to think they'll do good, you know. But so, FOH, but stop asking
dumb
questions.
He had to pay for an ad, though. He definitely
did. Yeah, why pay for an ad? What does that do?
And championship is much better than dynasty. He's trying to steer himself
to the fan. He's going to get fan favorite now. Watch.
Not when he missed that block and get Cam killed. Killer Cam, killed.
The only center that should ever have any rap for the media is Kevin Mawai, and he's done.
In our chat room, they're already talking about Penn State. So that
that's why I said it's time to move. It's time to go. Let's do it.
Before we get into the Penn State battle, let you know this segment is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone. If you do have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, kill yourself. And shout out to Monty, because I know he's listening on his Android phone right now, even though he's an iPhone lover. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo from our website or go to Stitcher.com/TheWarRoom, one word. And remember, when asked for the coupon code, use one word, The War Room, because it will enter you into a contest to win thousands of dollars. Now,
oh, like PJ's homie, the Russian billionaire, said, you win billions of money.
I make billions of money.
y'all can win thousands of money, so definitely put that in the box.
You can win thousands. When thousands of money, but no doubt, don't forget that when you do go on there, enter the War Room one word, you can definitely win.
Great cash, homie.
Anyway, let's just jump right into it. Let's talk about Penn State. Be careful with your Penn State. Joe Paterno's statue was taken down on Sunday. All right, that was just like the precursor to everything else. In terms of the statue,
real quick about the statue, even though it was early Sunday morning, you know, they kind of went in there like thieves in the middle of the night. I guess thieves in the top of the morning. It was like 6 a.m. They surrounded the joint with a fence. They threw the tarp over it and, you know, tried to make it quiet. They didn't want any trouble. Because remember last week we reported that kids were out there standing guard. They probably did, you know, did what they had to do. But, yeah,
on,
that's
man.
Gone. Like Jimmy said, that was the first domino to fall. What happened next?
First domino to fall. They took down the Saddam. I mean the Joe Paterno statue. the first thing that happened. After that, the NCAA body slammed Penn State, then put him in the torture rack. Lex Luger style with sanctions on Monday.
I got the list if you need them.
All right, Dad, read out the list of the sanctions that happened to Penn State.
Here's the sanctions. Give me a minute because there's like 90 of them. They got a $60 million fine, which is equal to their average yearly revenue for the football program. So they're going to lose millions of money. They have a bowl postseason ban for 4 years. They had a reduction in scholarships from 21 to 15 per year for the next 4 years. The players who are currently on the roster may transfer and immediately compete at other programs. That second part is important for those that don't know. When you transfer within the NCAA, you always got to sit out that first season and then play the next year. Remaining student athletes will keep their grants and aid as long as they qualify for it, even if they don't compete on the football team. So even if you quit, and you don't transfer, you can still get your education. But, you know, who there for that? The program will vacate all wins from 1998 to 2001. That's the part right there where they put Joe Paterno in the headlock and punched him in his face. There's a five-year probationary period, and I believe that's after the 4 years are done. The NCAA reserves the right to investigate and punish more individuals even after the legal ramifications are handed down. So they basically debated the death penalty, which would have been to shut down the program for a few years, and came to the conclusion that the suspension of play wouldn't be appropriate because it would hurt people or parties that had nothing to do with these crimes. Actually, we can talk about that in a few minutes because we later found out that that was kind of BS. But okay, so these sanctions. Who want to go first on these sanctions? Y'all think they got slammed too hard or –
So we basically avoided death to be in a vegetative state while brain dead.
I mean, somewhat, but at the same time, you know that community out there is going to try to rally around them and support the businesses and the football program. They're still going to have their sellouts. So, I mean, it's still going to generate revenue. Maybe not as much revenue, but they're going to generate revenue.
The thing is, at least they don't have to give up that $60 million without making any money. Like Jimmy said, they're still going to, you know, they got 108,000 seat stadium, you know, you got concessions and everything. So at least they don't just have to come out of pocket. I mean, at the same time, they were going to make that same money this year and not have to give anybody $60 million of money.
Yeah, but it's like they haven't been
but
like
at least they get to make the money before
they took the plea bargain, so to speak. But the thing is, they did get a nice little sentence. They got a Mumia Abu-Jamal sentence, but it's like
Free Mumia.
I'm not getting into that at all. Not on the air, I won't. But I think that it was deserved. They got what was coming to them, and I know a lot of people will hate me for saying that, but FOH.
I have mixed feelings on that because, I mean, it all comes to the – it definitely – there's something in the back of my mind like, damn, everybody who has something to do with this, allegedly – have been removed from the university. So it's like at this point, it's like I don't expect them to get away with nothing being done to the program because even though they removed all the guilty parties, it's still the program. You have to punish them somehow. But there's a lot of, you know, student-athletes being punished right now who, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're going home calling their moms like, yo, I didn't do anything to anybody. Like, why is my college
this
career
is true.
Destroy like that. Now, that's the side of me that, you know, plays devil's advocate. Now, on the other hand, I still sometimes think, like, these sanctions, first of all, the NCAA didn't even do an investigation. They just took everything from the free report and just, you know, gave out all the punishments that way. At the same time, like, I don't think that these crimes really did anything to benefit the program. Now, I know it's people going to call in and in the chat room that's going to disagree with that. I do know, on the other hand, see, that's why I said I'm kind of on the fence with this. On the other hand, by them protecting, by them covering it up, it does keep the program alive and viable and, and you know, gives them the chance to compete and win games every year. So I'm definitely on the fence, man. Where y'all at with this?
Yeah, it kind of postpones, like what you said, like I guess by kind of not bringing it to the light and like you said, kind of sweeping it under the rug a little bit, it kind of postpones the groundswell that will come when something like that comes out, because it's going to have some effect on the program. Even if they probably would have talked, like, you know, turned this in and brought this to, like, to the media, if you will, as soon as, you know, Sandusky started playing Hide the Rainbow Role with the young boy in the shower, the first time they heard about it. You know what I'm saying? But,
you know what, though? Yahoo Sports, I forgot who the author was, but he actually was in contact with the lawyer of victim number four. And victim number four... and the funny thing is, like, they probably should have gone to these victims, you know, to get their consent before just bringing the hammer down like that. Because victim number four says he wished they would have consulted him first because he said he doesn't like how they brought the hammer down on his, quote, beloved Penn State. You know, the guy who did the deeds, did the crimes, is where he belongs. And I think this guy is pretty much satisfied with that. He doesn't like how Penn State has to kind of, you know, take it for the team, per se, because of what Sandusky did. So now that he said that, that's kind of interesting because I would kind of like to hear what all of the other, quote-unquote, victims, you know, in the situation would have to say.
Now, me personally, I understand what he's saying, but at the same time, when you're associated, like you said, the program is an entity, it's a person itself. You have to punish the program. I understand nobody is there who committed these acts. So in the future, if I have a program that's run amok, do I just get rid of everybody and I don't face sanctions because nobody's there that committed whatever act it is?
To tell the truth, Jimmy, that does get people off a lot. When they see schools handle things on their own, the NCAA usually is a little lighter on them. Now, this is a different situation because kids are involved. When kids are involved, then, you know, everything changes. But what you just said, they go light on people because they punish themselves, you know.
Yeah, but there's never been a situation where it was J.B. Butt Rape involved. I mean,
no,
they go light on people.
Exactly. No, that's what I said, because kids are involved and, you know, sex and all that kind of stuff is involved.
That's what I'm saying. You have to punish people.
But at the same time,
But
Jimmy, is BBR... Is that sanctioned by the NCAA? Like, is that
BBR is definitely not sanctioned by the NCAA.
So
how
can they just step in?
A lot of times,
it
wasn't even necessarily about the because a lot of times it wasn't about the BBR. It was about the cover up of the BBR. You know what I'm saying? We have a lot of callers on the line that want to get, you know.
A lot of
times
people say
cover up. I
know.
Austin, you want us to go to the Digital Extreme hotline or you want
to
get your point across real quick?
Let's go to the Digital Extreme Tech hotline. Talk to Left Hand Lou is calling in from D.C. He wants to talk about Penn State. Left Hand Lou, what up, homie?
Left Hand Lou.
Hey, fellas, how's everybody doing?
What up,
hey,
Lou?
Hey, what's up, Left?
What's good, baby boy?
Lou.
How's everything, fellas?
We're good,
man.
Man. How you?
Blessed, man. How's Mexico?
Mexico is great, man. You know, it's a sweet deal. I'll be on my way out of here in the middle of next month. But you guys touched on a topic, man, that I've been talking with some guys, and I wanted to share a little insight.
What's up?
It's two or three things that I want to get off the table real quick, and, you know, you can comment, you know, once I get finished and we'll go through it. I was telling somebody that it was a shame that money cures all crimes. I was like, you know, it's a high-profile case, then the media reduces their time. I was like, you know, we the people, we make judgments on half of what we see or half of what we hear. It's way more to the Sandusky trial, but they didn't have to dig deep. You know, taking him down was enough to satisfy the people and not disrupt the money flow. It's just one person out of 1,200 schools, man, that actually got caught. You know, the fight is not over, but the other molesters in the lower divisions, the NCAA 2, 3, junior college, they don't really feel the pressure behind this. And sometimes the NCAA goes overboard, you know, with some of their punishments. You know, taking away wins since 1998 to 2011. Why? Because Sandusky was a member of the coaching staff, you know. You know, mathematically, if you want to put it together, it's about 70 players each year on a team, you know, roughly comes out to about 900 players, not counting the red shirt. So it's safe to say 1,000 alumni, you know, they have to suffer for their hard, you know, all their hard work is pretty much gone because of this one person, man. And, you know, it's another way to go about doing it. If you want to go after an individual, you should. If it's a player, ban him. You know, if he already left school, tax him. You know, if he works a 9-to-5, garnish. You know,
damn.
What I'm saying? He works 9-to-5, garnish. You know, if he's in NFL, tax him. If he's a member of the staff, you know, go after a piece of his pension. But if, with these rules being in place, because it's because it is a business, there's no way. There's no way that they would jeopardize this because this tax follows you for the rest of your life. So you got to realize that this is a billion-dollar business with college football and it was sports all together. They give you money and you give them your talent, you know, so you can't tell me that you can't use this actual tax lien against them when they mess up the money for the business.
Mm. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Sam Lou, this is Jimmy, by the way. A lot of times,
hey,
a lot of times, what's going on? But it's like when you're associated with an organization, whether it be a school, an employer, or whatever, a lot of times the decisions that's made by those in power can affect everybody else, whether we like it or not. The innocent get hurt. I mean, life is not fair. If you work for, you know, Enron, so to speak, and decisions were made which cost you everything, that's something you have to live with because you were associated with that company, so to speak. So I understand exactly what you're saying, but it's just one of them things. It's not a right or wrong answer. Some people say innocent people are going to get hurt, and I think that's the case. But, I mean, life isn't fair and nothing's perfect.
No, well, I understand
that,
you know, in this world is creating a distance. Yeah, in this world, you want to create a distance, though. It's such a thing as you want to come down heavy on them so that you pretty much, once these sanctions go on, you're pretty much forgotten about. And I think that's a part of a cover-up that Penn State is actually involved in because it was way more than just, you know, Sandusky by himself or acting by himself. You know, it's, you know, by coming down so hard on them, you know, just self-inflicted by the school itself, you know, like someone said earlier, you know, it deters the NCAA from having to put, you know, heavy sanctions on them. So you self-inflict that wound, and you're pretty much out of the watchful eye for the next 4 or 5 years, and it kind of deters people from wanting to do that same thing, but you really haven't stopped the money flow, and you really haven't stopped the issue, you know. And
I understand your point.
Yeah.
You think that they should have got a death penalty, basically.
I'm not really saying a death penalty, but what I'm saying is all they're doing is taking the attention. It's just like any other politics. You take the attention off of that school completely once you've handed down your sanctions. So now they're, you know, 4 or 5 years, they're suspension. You don't have to deal with them. You're not going to go there. They're not going to get anybody to go there. They're pretty much off the map. And that's another part of the punishment.
More should have been done to eliminate the problem. So it's like they're covering up more by just taking this harsh punishment.
Right. I mean, you can even go back to the old days with the SMU and everything that they went through and how long it took for them to get a program back and things of that nature. So, no, you can best believe that there won't be any more crooked ball out of SMU after the death penalty that they had.
It's kind of like
the problem with that was SMU wasn't a Penn State in the first place. So, you know,
right.
By them getting that death penalty they got, you know, there was no chance for them to ever really, really recover. Like, Penn State has a lot of history, a lot of tradition. So even after that 4 or 5 years, I can see them, you know, building back up to what they once were.
I don't know.
No, I mean, but we just said it before. Even during those years, the fans and everybody are still going to support them. They're still
going to sell out their stadiums.
The revenue is still going to be there. So once they're back in the fold and, you know, they can start convincing players to come there, I don't think they're going to have a hard, you know, a hard time like SMU. SMU, they weren't paying players in the first place, they would have never been good. So
here's one last comment that I wanted to make, man, is that, you know, they kind of brought the sledgehammer down on the Paterno family in the whole nines, you know, snatching down the statue and all of that thing. So going back to the numbers that I said before, there was over, let's say, from that 98 to 2011, 1,000 players roughly, we'll say, at the school. And if Paterno, you know, was drugged all around for the simple fact that he turned his back, I'm just curious at how many players knew about it and didn't say anything either because they're just as guilty.
Exactly.
if they knew. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, everybody,
yeah,
of course, is saying, you know, I didn't know nothing, so I guess.
Yeah, I know.
Because I don't think they're going to drag it any further, so they're just going.
Yeah. It's just funny how people always come out of the, you know, they come from deep down underneath some type of rock and they say, yeah, it happened to me too, or I knew about it too. Well, if you were a victim and you didn't tell, you're just as guilty. But, you know, politics has it that, you know, you being a victim excludes you from any type of punishment.
Okay. That's what's up, Lou, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call and your comments. We got some
Lou,
people waiting on the line.
Lou, we appreciate your support.
And we're going to get you on back on the show anyway because, you know, we got to talk about what went down in Mexico once you get back. So we'll be in touch.
Flying pig heads. Just keep that in mind. Flying pig heads. Flying pig heads is a topic from Mexico. Let's talk about that.
All right, man.
Bye, homie.
All right, you fellas. Take care.
You too.
All right, easy.
All right, real quick, we're going to go to Mont in Philly. He's been waiting for a minute. Mont, what's up? You're in the war room.
What's going on, fellas? First time, long time. Nothing, man. I usually just camp out in the chat room, but I had to call in on this Penn State nonsense.
What's your take?
My take is this, and it's kind of piggybacking what your last caller said. First of all, what has to be understood is football, whether it's NCAA or NFL, is a money-making business. So ain't nobody going to stop themselves from making money. So to think that the NCAA or anybody is going to keep Penn State from generating revenue or the NCAA from generating revenue is just crazy. They all out to make money, and they going to make their money. They might not make as much, but they going to make their bread. Secondly, the NCAA levying their sanctions had to be done for two reasons. Number one, the NCAA had to distance themselves and disavow any of that behavior. They couldn't condone that, so they had to, in effect, do something to punish the university severely so that they distance themselves from that mess. And then secondly, what the NCAA did, and I don't know if they did this intentionally or unintentionally, but anybody that knows Penn State football knows that that university revolves around football. Like, they deified the program, they deified Joe Paterno, and what it did is it's going to change the culture of football at Penn State for the
absolutely
better.
Hey, Mike, did you know that every Saturday during a home game, State College PA turns into the third largest populated area in Pennsylvania? Just on
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, Joe Paterno's pictures were in McDonald's. Like, this boy was still alive and he had a statue. Like, who gets a statue erected to him while they're still alive? It just don't happen. Like, Joe Pac, I don't think he ever walked on the campus. He was just carried around by a bunch of little minions from wherever
he was.
What's funny, though,
exactly.
You said that, though, but I don't think I've ever seen it happen where somebody dies and their statue gets taken down. So that's too unprecedented.
Joe Pye's whole life was in reverse with regards to
backwards.
That statue. Yeah, exactly. But it's going to change the culture of Penn State, and it's a lot of people at Penn State, and this is why Penn State is going crazy about this, because they identify themselves with their football program. It's almost like it's not a university. It's just, we're just here for football. That's it. And when
you
cripple their football program, go ahead.
Do you think that, like, they will recover and come out better for this, or you think that their program may be done for a long time?
Nah, they're going to recover. It's Penn State. We are Penn State. I mean,
that's
what they
SMU,
do.
Man.
They're going to still go to games this season. Like, they'll still be there. They'll be out in force and in extra force to show that we still love our university and we're more than football, which they really.
I get that.
And they're going to win some games because a lot of them dudes are deciding to stay.
I get your guys' point, but my thing is in terms of, when it comes a couple of years from now, when you're trying to recruit the top talent to come play there, is there a stigma attached now with the university? Like, I'm not going to lie, when I walk through Philadelphia and I see the logo, I guess because it's so fresh, the first thing that comes to my mind is a scandal. It's not any of the history. It's not Joe Pa. It's the scandal
but
that comes to
think,
mind when
Jim,
I see that model.
Yeah,
you got to give it time
to die down.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
I'm saying, is it because it's fresh? Like, well, how long will the stigma last?
Yeah. That's gonna die down. We live in a culture of immediacy. So even generally speaking, human nature is for things to be distanced in our rearview mirror, but more so now
than ever because there's so much going on and being said into our minds that, you know, think about the generations that are coming up after us. The people that will be in Penn State for 4 years, 5 years from now are really only 12 or 13 years old. So
I mean, I get that.
They're
Brown,
coming. There's a, there's
Chris
a whole,
Brown
there's
and
a
R.
Whole
Kelly,
other level.
Jimmy. Chris Brown and
no,
R. Kelly still doing well.
There's a whole other
I mean, they make good music,
though.
You can make
recruiting.
Good music. I mean,
there's a whole other level of recruiting that can occur because now you can do what Boise State or your mid-majors, your TCUs did to build the program, which is go after a high-level talent that was obscure because of where they played or perhaps grades. Or so they can still do a different type of grassroots recruiting to get a different type of player.
Only time will tell, but we're not talking about, like, sanctions that come from, like, receiving money. We're talking about BDR. So it's a little different. Like, we've never seen this before. So only time
it's
going to
affect their recruiting. It's going to affect their early stage recruiting. Like, they're not going to be able to scout people at 13 and 14 no more because everybody's going to be scared of getting their butt tickled. Like,
exactly.
They're not going to be able to do that. It's going to be late stage recruiting for a few years because they just can't go to anybody's eighth grade or, you know, junior high school or freshman dudes that they're trying to recruit. They're not going to be able to do it. Like, everybody's going to be scared. I'm not going up there and getting my butt tickled.
That's what I'm saying. They may come back, but it may take a long time. It may take longer than people think. I don't think after this, like, four-year period, they'll be right back in the mix.
Yeah, I'm not saying just after the four, but I'm just talking about it's like, what, 20, 30 years later and SMU's still garbage? I'm talking about
SMU's actually getting better. It took them about 20 years. But
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not going to take Penn State half as long as it's taking SMU.
No.
Just
I don't
because
know.
Of what
I
they
mean,
were
we'll
even
to,
before the scandal. Like,
we'll
SMU.
Have to revisit this.
But you know what, Mike? Because you spoke about the money, the whole thing. But they're saying that Erickson signed off on these sanctions because they were threatened with the death penalty. They were saying if he didn't sign off on this, then there was a potential four-year death penalty, but at the same time,
they can dangle that in their face.
I know what answer they're gonna give me, so I feel
exactly. So it's not, that's not a real threat. We need to kill y'all. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nobody.
Let me ask you guys a question because the last caller brought a point. He said they signed off on it to like stop any further investigation. Like, is something else? Like, do you think there's anything more that they are hiding?
I'm sure. I'm sure of it.
Okay.
Don't nobody really want to know the nasty details of what went on in that locker room. I mean, besides what we already know, don't nobody want to know all of that. Like, I'm sure it was raw up there. If Joe Pye knew about it for all of them years and kept quiet, it was a lot more going on than Sandusky just being the perv that he was. It was a lot going on up there.
The old athletic director and them got to still have their trial too. So I mean. When that happens,
a lot more may come out.
Somebody needs to check the Penn State sleeping bag inventory. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, man. Thanks for your call, man.
Investigate all the dudes that did the laundry. No problem.
Thanks for your call, man. We'll holler at
thanks
you.
Thanks,
right, man.
I haven't really weighed in. I think
we're going to you now, Austin. Go ahead.
I think that first and foremost, let me extend my prayers to the victims. And I think that Sandusky is a monster that I would be willing to slay. let's never lose sight of that. That fact and all of this. But that he is a monster, and there, you know, he's an evil being. And I think that is something that folks tend not to focus on. Like, we don't hear that part of this story. It's almost like, okay, let's skip over that. He's getting taken care of. Let's just talk about Penn State and Joe Pye, and you know, we lose sight of that. I think from November, when this story first broke, until now, it's been so sensational, and the media has run with it so far and so fast. I disagree with the punishment on a couple of fronts. First of all, the free report. Like, where have you ever seen, you know, the accused order their own report or order their own investigation, and the governing bodies then accept that investigation?
Got pile drive for it.
And they got pile drive for it, but then it's acknowledged that a large portion of that report is speculative or opinion as opposed to fact. Like, there are some facts in there, but there's a large portion of opinion. There's a large portion of stuff that's open for debate, and that's accepted as the law. I think that the act itself was so heinous and brings with it such a stigma, and that people don't want to really deal with it and get too far into the investigation. They just, you know, it's terrible. It's ugly. We don't want to, slam these dudes' heads with the guillotine, period.
Hey, hold up, Austin.
Yeah.
Let me cut you off real quick, because I kind of think I know where you're going, but let me see if you agree with this, because I was in the chair this morning. I was talking to my man Steve the Barber, and y'all know, you know, my man be all about the conspiracy theories. You know how they've been trying to get Joe Pa out of there, you know, for the last few years anyway? I don't think administration liked the fact that he was, you know, bigger than the school itself.
Bigger than the school?
Do you think that since it was their own report, do you think this free report might have just thrown Joe Pa out there as the scapegoat, you know, so they can just go ahead and throw these sanctions down, take his wins? He's dead. He's not here to defend himself. We was trying to get him out of here anyway. Let's throw that. Let's, you know, get his wins taken away. Do you think that might have any merit to it? Like him being thrown out there as a scapegoat because he's dead?
I don't think it was so much of a conspiracy. I do think it's plausible and possible that it was an opportunity that certain people saw and took advantage of, but I would like to think that no one's mind is sick enough that they would attach their agenda to something that ain't. Like, that type
big
of
money right here, yeah. He's dead. They're probably figuring that. Look, he's dead, man. Hey, we can deal with
it.
Because remember, when it originally started, Joe Pa was supposed to have known about that one thing that McQuarrie told him. But, you know, now all of a sudden in the free report, Joe knew about this, knew about that, knew for so long. And I'm thinking, you know, that it changed up like that. Was it really that big of an investigation, or are they just throwing my man out there as the scapegoat?
I'll be honest with you. I'm a little biased because I'm a Joe Pa fan, and y'all know it. Y'all have made fun of me for it. I'm a bit of a Joe Pa fan. The only thing that really bothers me about it is that he isn't here to defend himself. But I also will say this: if he wasn't guilty on some level, I believe Joe's conscience killed him. I do believe that. I believe that he felt like there was more he could have done. I do believe he didn't want to see his program and his school left in this state. And he did begin to kind of second guess.
I don't think his conscience killed him. I just think being fired.
I mean, we always said
the day he left coaching, he was going to croak. And it really kind of was like that.
And it
he
really
just didn't leave on his own
like
term.
But that's not a – I don't think it's a far-fetched theory, really. You know, and considering the source, we know dude can go far-fetched. But I don't necessarily think that that's a far-fetched theory. But I do have a problem with the free report being so biased, and then also let me finish. Then you go from the free report, and the NCAA kind of steps in and drops the hammer with the nails onto a coffin, because while this isn't the death penalty, it might as well be in a lot of ways.
As long as you get to make that revenue year after year, this ain't no death penalty.
$60 million. It's not the death penalty. It's not even close.
Yeah.
They only got to pay one year. If they would have had to pay 4 years, then, yeah, it would be no reason to open up the gates every Saturday. But
that's fair enough. That's fair enough. But
this may be a death penalty to a lesser university. I give you that. But these people won't go.
The stigma now that's attached with Penn State and the people that are going to suffer, I disagree when we say look at an organization or a program as a separate entity. Yeah, I think that a program or organization is the sum total of its parts, but you can look at those parts. And what is it but people? And so now if the people have been removed and the people are under criminal investigation and there's civil liability and all of those things are going on, no one is left within that organization or program that should have to suffer if they're innocent.
So now,
you've made your point in case, but for me, I don't look at the rule necessarily as the examples of the past. I subscribe to ideals. I'm definitely an idealist. So I'm like, just because it happened over there here or it happens over there doesn't mean it needs to be applied in this particular case. I don't believe the innocent should ever suffer just because they do. Just because it happens doesn't mean that it's right.
Running from the
do you stand for what's right or do you stand for what's wrong?
Hold on, call me unrealistic.
It could be unrealistic, but is it right?
If you're saying
because it's unrealistic, that means that I shouldn't subscribe to it because it's unrealistic.
No. That's your belief. I get that. What I'm saying is this is bigger than Penn State. This also, like, you know, if any other program has anything in their closet, so to speak, they're going to have to clean their closet out, because if you can just get rid of the people that were responsible and now the organization as a whole won't be held accountable, what's to stop Pitt? What's to stop, like, you know, any other school, Ohio State? What's to stop that from happening? I mean, this also sends a message. It's deeper than just Penn State. And to your other point about Joe Pye dying because of his conscience, I don't think that was it. I think Joe Pye died because of the fact he was 86 years old. So we can move on from this.
As a matter of fact, RIP to my man Sherman Hemsley, man. George Jefferson died the other day, man. 74 years old. RIP to Sherm.
We're going to move on from this topic. I just want to say that I have no sympathy for Penn State. My sympathy is with the victims of BBR, and we don't support BBR here, so FOH to Penn State, and, you know, let's go, John.
We definitely don't support that. My sympathy runs a little, you know, I spread it out a little more than just the victims. They have the deepest sympathy, but I do, you know, feel a little sorry for the people who got to endure this for something that they didn't do. But what happened. I hate this saying, but it is what it is. We're going to leave this open-ended because it's not over. We're going to talk about it again. So let's switch gears a little bit, because as we mentioned earlier in the audio cast, that the opening ceremony for the Olympics tomorrow. And, yo, I don't know about y'all, but I love when the Summer Olympics come around, man. I mean, it seems like time is moving too quick. But that's a different story. Like, we're 4 years older, and it seemed like it was like 4 months. But that's a different thing. So we're going to talk some Olympics. That's funny, because the 5 days that I'm out there, am I going to be able to hear that if I'm not watching it on TV? Now I'm going to, like, request that they play that in every venue that I can sneak into. Team USA, we talked about them a few times, but since we've started talking about them, they've played in a few, quote-unquote, friendlies. They beat Brazil, close game. They blew out Great Britain. They beat Argentina by 6. You know, everybody said Spain was going to be the ones to give them problems in the exhibition and later on in the Olympics if they get to meet up again. And they kind of ran away from Spain, too. Do y'all think, like, seriously, we don't have to spend much time on this because we've talked about this a lot. Do y'all really think that anybody is going to give them, you know, that kind of a run once the games start?
No. No.
It's going to be difficult. I mean, I think Luis Scola took the heart. But like pure talent, like with that 3-point line being as close as it is, it's like I can't see them losing.
That's the Durant layups.
That chat where Monty said, "Watch out for Angola." So
Yeah, they 0-1.
Yeah, true.
They still mad for Charles Barkley.
You know, the funny thing is their weakness is obviously the front court. Everybody's talking about that. And I think Spain will give them a little bit of work there.
When they get Marc Gasol back.
Their perimeter defense is stifling. Like they make the European guards or the international guards look like high school kids. The pressure, like when they decide to apply the screws.
They ain't scared Calderon, but y'all know how I feel about Calderon. He's underrated as an NBA player, so you know he's good as an international. This is the point I had to make, though, because remember we talked about it before, and I don't want to get into the whole dream team comparison and all that kind of stuff. But there's a difference in the landscape, because this is what I was noticing. And I could be off on some of these numbers, but by my count, Brazil has 6 NBA players. Even Great Britain had 2 NBA players. Like, ooh, balls over there. Like, really? Argentina, I missed that game, so I didn't even count. But they always have at least 4 or 5 NBA
players.
They
got, like, 8.
And then Spain has 8. And that's on the current team. That's not even counting Ricky Rubio, who's injured. That would make 9. So,
and they
all play for the third. Because that's the only thing that I hate. Like, the comparison, we already talked about that. You know, I think the Dream Team is better. But the only unfair thing I see is every time these guys have a close game, everybody runs to social media and say, the Dream Team would never just win by 6, never just win by 10. Okay, they were playing Angola and, you know what I mean, and teams like that, the best count they had was Lithuania and Croatia. Lithuania had like 1 experienced NBA player. They had 2 altogether. Croatia had 2 at the time in 92, and they ended up having 5 because 3 more dudes made the league. But these dudes play their peers like night in and night out, so it's not going to be easy for them. They're not going to be just beating everybody by 35.
I mean, I get that. A lot of the reason why these teams have that talent is due to the Dream Team.
That's when everybody out there wanted to start balling.
Argentina and Spain are definitely not scared or intimidated by what they're facing. That's for sure.
Yeah, they just can't keep up, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In the end, it's not going to matter.
Yeah,
it might be just like the championship game from 08. It might be tight all the way through, and at the end, you know, the U.S. will run away with it because they'll throw that pressure on that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kobe on, Kobe on.
Here's what's funny to me about this the whole Olympic games in terms of the United States basketball team. I've never seen this many people root against their country. It's like people want them to fail bad.
But it's because the media set that up. When you start comparing people to people's heroes, and Austin says this all the time, people start showing disdain for who you're putting up against their heroes.
It's all Michael Jordan's fault. It's all Michael. You can't say anything wrong about Michael Jordan in this country. Once you compare anybody to Michael Jordan, you get hate. I was on Twitter during the game. People are literally rooting against their own country. Like, F the U.S. I'm like, damn.
Secretly, I've been rooting against the U.S. basketball team since about 2000, but that's personal. With me, it was always like, okay, I just want these dudes to lose, because that's when they started, you know, sending all the best players over there, and it seemed like they just were too cocky to think they were going to lose. The bad part about it is the team that lost was the team I was actually rooting for, because I'm a Allen Iverson stan, and he went over there and embarrassed us. But I mean, it wasn't him. He and Tim Duncan were the only ones balling, and Tim Duncan was in foul trouble every other game. But that's funny, because that's the first team in a long time that I have started to root for.
I've never really seen this much disdain for like your own country in terms of like any of their teams. Like it won't happen in any other event.
Yeah, I'm an Angolan fan. I'm with Mott. Watch out for the Angolan. Yeah. All right, now
I'm rooting for Iran.
Even though Austin said earlier that their whole sport is like inconsequential or whatever he said. The women, I don't see a problem coming from anywhere. If they lose, it'll be like, you know, Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson type thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think
the
women pretty much got it wrapped up. And
yeah, they too good.
Olympic tickets are hard to find, so like that's one of the only events that I have so far is a women's basketball game. I don't even know if it's like America. I'm just going into
now,
the venue
could
to watch women.
Could the American women's team beat the worst men's team?
They can beat the mediocre men's teams out there. I think they could beat, like, you know, Kenya's team or something. Bolivia.
They couldn't beat our
beat,
they could beat Sri Lanka.
They could beat Martin, Tommy, and Cole and Eric Gordon.
Uh-huh.
Put it on. Eric Gordon, you're in. Eric Gordon, you're out. So, yeah. And plus, you know, we can't really talk about that anyway because Bielsa said women's basketball is not a sport.
I know.
In so many words. So,
I like,
let's go on to some of our favorite sports. If y'all don't know, everybody here, you know, we pretty much like track.
We like women's track.
Actually, you know, the homie Kai Adderley, big track head, he put me down with this group with, like, people like him. Like, they talk track all day. I don't even know what they're talking about half the time. I can't even keep up. But I should have asked a few of them, you know, to call in and give us their 2 cents on this. But since I didn't, you know, we're going to talk about ourselves. Now, you know, the Sudanese refugee was allowed to run the marathon representing no country because, I mean, you know what's been happening in the Sudan. So they're going to let him run under the Olympic flag. So I don't remember seeing that before, but that's good stuff. Let the man compete. Now, as far as track and field goes altogether, the U.S. has a stated goal of 30 medals. They won 23 in Beijing. You know what we're here to watch. We're here to see these sprints. And it's basically on the women and men's side, it's going to come down once again to the U.S. sprinters versus the Jamaican sprinters.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme.
Let's go men. Let's go men. Because the men's only hope in these hundreds, and, you know, when it comes to the 4x1, it would be Justin Gatlin and Tyson Gay. But then on the Jamaican side, they got Usain Bolt and Johan Blake.
And they have
Johan
Stand
Robert.
A chance.
Yeah.
They also have Asafa Powell. Let's start starting with Justin Gatlin. Shout out to him because he did something unprecedented. He was actually banned for a performance-enhancing substance. So he's been out of track for between, I want to say, 4 years, but it could be as much as 6, and has come back, returned, and ran a 9.8 in the 100. So that's never been done before.
You got back on that
hype up? Hey, PJ, on that 6 years, you can find something that they're not going to
detect. I know, exactly. He back on that hype up, man.
I ain't going to comment on that.
He went away and learned more chemistry.
Tyson Gay is a former world record holder in the 100. His fastest personal best is a 9.78. All that being said, the U.S. team is probably the second fastest team in the world. And do they stand a chance? Yeah, they stand a chance. But I still would go with Jamaica, and here's why. Besides Usain Bolt, which people have speculated that he allowed Johan Blake to beat him, I don't know whether that's true or not. Besides Johan Blake, Usain Bolt, and Asafa, they've got four guys that run sub 9.9, and they have three guys that run sub 9.8, and two former world record holders.
Damn.
So.
I gotta give me some red stripe, yo.
Yo, Austin, why are the Jamaicans so fast?
Sing
like
Kingston?
Fifth, I just want to know.
Run for your life,
mean,
Kingston.
Scientifically,
is it genetic, or is it like they live around
the equator? It's constantly warm, so. There never is a time frame where they're in the cold and their muscles are tightening up and they have to.
So they never have
off
season.
Warm.
Yes, I
not
see what you
real.
Mean.
So
they stay
constantly.
So they loose, warm, ready to
get out of dodge.
I think it's because year long, they smoke that good loud. and that enables them
to
relax.
That slows you down.
They're very relaxed, and allows them to concentrate and run at a faster pace. So who knows?
Yo,
in
the chat room, Leroy McConnell said 9.5 will win the 100 meters.
No,
I mean, everybody
no,
can come
no,
in juiced up
no,
because 9.58
no,
is the world record,
no,
which Bolt
no.
Bolt set in 2009. Adam Scott is a world record holder. He's a world record holder in the 100 and the 200. 9.58 in the 100 and 19.19
right.
Yeah, in the 200.
9.58.
And I'm
going to
tell you right now that 9.58 is I'm not going to say it's an anomaly. But you haven't seen him run anywhere near close to that since. I think since that has been like 9.7. You're not. I doubt you're going to see a 9.5 anything.
You don't think Johan can do it?
Low.
You don't think Johan can do it?
Sometimes I've been thinking. Sometimes I think Bolt like stays it for the big race though, because y'all saw what he did last time.
He
might do something ignorant. He might run like a 9.2, and we might have to see if he's an
animal. I know one thing. I watch Bolt race a lot based upon the fact that he is Bolt. He never seems to, like, give it his all. It looks like he's always jogging, yo. Is it just me? Does it always look like
part of it is his stride because he's so tall.
Yeah, he's
right?
Tall.
Okay.
Right? He's like Randall, Cunningham on the track.
He takes his foot off the gas.
Yeah.
He takes his foot off the gas because – Literally, this is a testament to him. He is so fast that he does not have to run his fastest race to beat anyone on the U.S. team.
Because when I saw Gay run, Paul, it's like he like gave it his all, exhausted himself, like he like put it out there, and it looks like
like Tyson Gay still be at full speed 5 meters past the finish line.
Dude slowed
down like 10 meters before the finish line.
The best place to see Usain Bolt's true speed versus another person is in the 4x100 relay, because then they get that running start.
He is a bad starter. He is a bad off the block.
When he gets a running start, he literally looked at Tyson Gay and laughed at him once and crossed the finish line.
My chat room said that Usain needs carry 25 yards from the finish. He stopped Usain carry.
that's racist, man. That's like the chick from Greece. You can't say that, man. he have curry in a red stripe. And be look laughing.
y'all out of pocket, yo.
Now listen, these are the top four finishes, top four times this year in 100 meters. Johan Blake, 9.975, Usain Bolt 9.76, Usain Bolt 9.79, and Justin Gatlin 9.80. In the 200 meters, the fastest finishes this year, Johan Blake 19.8, Usain Bolt 19.83. Jason Young, 19.86. Johan Blake, 19.91.
I think Johan ain't going to be a problem.
The 200 is where they're saying the U.S. may have their best shot at beating the Jamaicans.
Right.
Yeah, probably the women's 200. I don't even straight up. I think in the women's 200, not to, like, you know, jump over to the women, but I think the U.S. has a better chance in the women's 200.
Yeah, but they're saying in the 200, though, America's best hope is Wallace Spearman. They said he thought he won bronze in Beijing. He was a dude that got disqualified because he stepped like a fraction outside of his lane.
I think he's a light-skinned boy, yeah. I saw him during the trials a couple months ago.
Yeah, so he said he's
talking about how fast he was by how light he is. I was like, what?
That's light skin running, man. They don't let him come up.
Yeah. Right, so on the women's side of the things, you know, you got
on the women's side
the world champion
different.
And Carmelita Jeter. You got Jamaican Shelly-Ann Fraser Price.
Yes, Lord.
You got Jamaican Veronica Campbell Brown, and then you got Allison Felix, who ended up with that third spot. Y'all know about that.
I think that
she ain't got no to talk it.
Yeah, and the 200 Felix's they said pretty much. you know, she's thinking she's going to win that because that's her thing, the 200. But yeah. expect
Tanya
her to get
Richards.
A little run from Frazier Price. And
yeah,
Tanya Richards Ross has dropped to run the 200, and she's wasting space. She's a 400 runner.
But Shelly Ann, like Frazier Price, like another one of them that definitely has a chance.
Now, one of the things I should bring to y'all's attention is the difference between on the relay teams. All of these countries, they actually know who their 4x1 team is, and then they have an alternate team, and they practice year-round.
Yeah, we don't name ours.
The U.S. literally gets 1 week to hand the baton and practice the batons, which is why you notice in the last few Olympics and World Championships, they have trouble passing the baton.
I was just about
drops.
To say that. Both the men and the women dropped the baton going to the anchor in the semifinals.
Because that's
some
only,
of the women
when you see
the baton.
When you see
but you know what, Austin? I mean, this is we're going to talk about this afterwards, but he's stupid. It's the same way in swimming. Like, they'll send you over there knowing that you've qualified for certain events, but they don't name the U.S. relay teams in swimming until they're over there and they're kind of seeing how everybody's going. So,
and
you know,
so they mix and match the practice teams, and then they end up announcing the practice team, and the practice team gets like 2 days. The real team. I mean, the real team.
That,
like
that
two
hurts
days
more
practice.
In track because you got that baton to pass, right? You got something to practice. Swimming,
touch
the wall, and I jump in the pool. Like
whereas the Jamaicans, the Jamaicans have a minimum of 3 months, if not 6 months, to practice.
Yeah, just
so
you know, with their bobsledding.
we got a question from our chat room. Austin, maybe you can answer this. yo, Dev, you crazy. Leroy wants to know why doesn't Bolt run the 400?
He started his career as a 400 runner.
Wasn't good at it.
Because of his length and no pause that he's 6'5" or whatever, and he has severe scoliosis.
Doing it to people.
He has severe scoliosis, and the pressure of running that 400. Was bad for his back, so they started dropping him. They dropped him down to the 200, and they dropped him down to 100.
Well, he got, like, a lot of, like, endorsements and stuff now. Like, I'm sure he got health care. He can't get a backy out of
him.
But if you notice that, PJ, that's the reason for his start being the way it is, because he was originally a 400-meter runner, and they don't start the same way as 200 and 100-meter runner. So he was originally 400-meter runner.
I didn't know the boy had scoliosis. I didn't know he had scoliosis. Who?
Me either.
We got a call on the line. We got the homie on the line wants to talk to us. Naeem in Baltimore by Philly. Of course, he's from the hometown. Let's get him on the air.
Hey, what's going on, War Room? Well, actually,
what up,
Jimmy, I just moved back to Philly.
Uh-oh,
2 weeks
no
ago.
More B-more.
No more B-more.
He like, stop
get
saying that, man.
No.
Stop saying that.
Better drop off her back home, so, you know. Listen, I want to talk about two things. The Dream Team, what you know, compared to the new Dream Team now. The problem that
ain't
I
no
think
dream
a lot
team.
Of people are not really. No, it's a lot of great individual talent. They don't know team ball.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Chiefs, not enough Indians. Whereas though on the original Dream Team, it was great individual talent, but they knew how to play team ball. The Eagles with, you know, I'm not saying LeBron and Kobe got a problem, but they're just great individual players. They don't know team ball.
But think
and
about it,
the,
though. Team ball is way easier to play when you're not
when
playing
you're
nobody. Like,
but
seriously,
they don't know
like
that.
I've
they
been
don't know
in a lot of leagues
now.
Where – if we're playing teams where we're going to beat them by 30, then everybody turns into Magic Johnson. I'm throwing around the back, and, you know, it's easy. Because a pass like that is more embarrassing to somebody when you're blowing them out, like when you come down doing stuff that you don't usually do. So that's one thing I kind of disagree with.
Thing
I think team ball is
easier. Team ball.
Naeem, it's funny you say that because when they were in practice the other day, Kevin Love actually said that. He was being smart. He was trying to be funny. He was talking to Russell Westbrook. He was like, "You don't play team ball. You just jump out the building." I was like, "Dang,
I saw that. I saw that.
He was laughing, but he was serious.
Yeah, I'm like, damn.
Yo, Russell Westbrook is not from this planet, yo. He's not.
Well, he's not. I see what
but now the Penn State thing. Like, I don't know what was B said it earlier. When you involve kids, I think the penalty, you know, what I think about this with the whole thing, I think Joe Paterno, I don't know if he, I think he took some. Because it's kind of strange to me. He died. I don't think he wanted, like he, somebody said, he didn't want to see. I'm being honest. I'm being for real. He didn't want to see.
No,
the
I mean,
you
know he heard this in our chat room.
And he died. Once they got where he died, I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. And I don't think he wanted to face the point of going to the courtroom explaining why didn't he say anything. Because he was definitely going to testify if he was alive.
You are not the only one that said that. It was actually said in our chat room. Someone insinuated that Joe Pa was diddling young people too. But yeah, I'm not going with that.
No.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of conspiracies out there though.
But you know, Joe Paterno's old school. He's old school. He gave it to the people to, you know, powers to be. You know, it was handed to him instead of him going to the police. That's the way he was raised. Give it to the president. They did nothing about it.
Joe
Pye
has
no
choice but to be old school. But
for real,
by chain of command, he did the right thing. But still, people are going to look at it like, and I agree, okay, this is kids we're talking about. Like, okay,
exactly.
You did the right thing as far as the university is concerned, but people are going to say, you got to go to the police with that. I know it's your homie, you know.
Yeah, they definitely would have. I mean, Stabler and Benson would have got a cold in them. They would have all did life. But
think about it, though, y'all. Think about it. Seriously. Thanks for your call, man.
I want to thank you again for the gift card, too, and the card. I appreciate it.
No doubt.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No doubt. I ain't know. I never heard from you. But, no, I thought
I emailed you, Deb. My bad. I was in the process of packing and moving and stuff.
Cool. But my point is, think about if that's one of your homies, you know what I mean? And, you know, you hear that he did this. Of course, okay, he might not be your homie anymore on that same level. But it would seem like if that's your homie, you'd be more inclined to tell, you know, the higher-ups. Like if y'all work together, you'd be more inclined to tell the higher-ups and let them handle it than you just go to the police and snitch on your dude yourself. I mean, that could have been the position. I'm not trying to protect the dude. I'm just giving another scenario.
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think that. We'll never know. I mean, we know what comes out in these reports, what have you, but we never know exactly how it went down. But it's just a sad story, and you know, I'll never look at that Nittany Lion logo the same again, personally.
All right. Well, we got a couple
back
minutes,
to the Olympics, though.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about swimming before we get out of here, because a lot of us, you know, enjoy
swimming.
You know, we already talked about Bolt and his back.
My neck and my back. Oh.
Now, in the pool, you know, the last Olympics in the pool was great. I don't know if y'all remember, but if y'all don't, man, y'all need to YouTube the 4x1 freestyle.
Get your Michael Phelps on.
Man, that race, that was the best, that was the greatest swimming race I've ever seen. The dude, Lezak, who, you know, wasn't really supposed to swim that fast of a leg, got that anchor leg, and they were behind. And dude did something that nobody in the world thought he can do, and the Americans won, like, by a fingernail. And that was crazy because, you know, what do we know about swimming for real? But I was in the house jumping and screaming and hollering and, this year,
yo, watching swimming is exciting, especially the short, the dashes. Like I like those.
Yeah.
I think the greatest,
the, dashes, the real,
the great,
yeah.
The greatest.
I mean, it's just like track where like the 4x1 relay is going to be the most exciting event, probably on both sides. Now on the female side, you got the 17-year-old chick, Missy the Missile Franklin. Yo, she's 17 years old. She still has to go to her senior year of high school after the Olympics. Probably not when she gets these checks. But she qualified for 7 events. The chick is like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I read that she's like 6'1", wears a size 13 shoe. She's like Michael Phelps. It's like she was born.
Yeah, I watched
like,
her
in
the
who
aquarium.
Gets slippers
it's
like that? Like unless
you're like
allowed,
she was built for swimming, yo. It's like she was born to swim.
Yeah. How are you that?
But while we got a couple minutes left, though, let me speaking of swimming, I want to ask you guys a question because I was having this conversation with someone, Ryan Loach, right? About the amount of attention and things that he's getting at this point.
Dan and Dave.
Do a lot of you think that has anything to do with Michael Phelps and the fact that he smokes loud and got caught? Like, you
so
know,
they need a new hero?
Trying to make him the new,
it might be, it could play a part, but I also think, you know, he's the new young blood. You know, Michael Phelps is saying this is, these Olympics are going to be his last competitive, you know, competition in the pool.
Getting
so
that subway money.
It's time for them to move on to the next dude. And they've had some epic races, like, leading up to the Olympics. So, you know,
building it.
All about Loach and Phelps. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. Cause
I mean, I am, too. I am, too. But I know that talking to people through social media, some people thought that, you know, they should be more celebrating Phelps and his career achievements. But it's more about, like, Loach, like, knocking him off the block, so to speak. And they said that maybe it's because, you know, he's
speaking of
at,
Jimmy.
Thanks.
His career achievements, the boy got 14 gold medals. And he's qualified. He qualified for 8 events in this Olympics, but he's dropping the 200, might be the 200 free or something else. He's dropping one event, you know, to concentrate on the other 7. He's trying to get 7 more golds. As good as they say Loach is, it seems like 7 golds is going to be unlikely. But Michael Phelps did beat him 3 out of the last 4 times in the qualifier, so...
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's
Michael Phelps
crazy.
Is built like a fish, yo. Like,
yeah, he's a dog.
He's built like
he's
an eel or something. Yeah. Built like an electric eel.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Just like your boy Lance Armstrong, his heart is like 2 times the size of a normal human heart or something.
Yeah, probably so.
But they said, you know, Australia is supposed to be the U.S.'s biggest competition in the 4x1 freestyle. And that race that I was talking about in 2008, that was against, you know, France was supposed to be the favorites, and Lizak must have took a little something before he jumped in the pool. That was kind of crazy. Remember a few months back, it seemed like the story died down, but what they were talking about leading up to the games as far as swimming was concerned was the new LZR racer, the swimsuits. They were developed with help from NASA, and that was like all the rage, but it seemed like I haven't heard anything about that anymore.
They got that seal skin on them, Johns.
They
put walrus skin on them, Johns.
You know, because remember, once they did that, everybody was like in a frenzy to try to get the best technology as far as racing suits are concerned. So there's no telling what these dudes going to show up to the pool with.
Because usually back in the day they
shark
used to
fins
wear
coming
slingshot.
Out their backs.
Yeah, back in the day they used to wear a swim hat and some slingshots. That used to be all they would rock to go swimming.
I'd have been trying to swim in Saran Wrap.
You probably sink or something. You probably going naked. Water and sink.
It goes on, like, as time goes on, who knows how far they'll go in terms of the technology, man. But, I mean, you got to enjoy watching Aquaman, because I think Michael Phelps is like Aquaman off Smallville. So, yeah, like, being in the last one, we need to enjoy it.
If they teach him how to act, Jimmy, because he's not that good in them Subway commercials, they teach him how to act, he could be Vinny Chase in real life.
Uh-huh.
Aquaman.
Straight up.
Then do
Medellin after that, duh. They get the Medellin jump.
Medellin flop, Tony.
Medellin
flop.
My song. Yo, remember that? What was the Boston Eagles that made that song?
Andrew.
Sean Andrew. Give
Andrew.
A Michael Fight song.
Anyway, man, thanks for joining us in the war room, good people. Shout out to everyone who chimed in today. People in the chat room, Facebook page, people hitting us up on Twitter, and those that called into the show. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to catch us updating you on these Olympic Games and much more. Until then, enjoy the opening ceremonies. Have a great weekend. Remember to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, all over the Internet. And we will rap to you all week. Take it easy.
What is it?
Yo, take a second, what if we could rewind the hood? Better yet, what if the locks would've signed with Suge? What if Puffy never signed us? What if Oprah made them comments like I must? What if you designed this, thought like I did, said it like this? What if Peyton was fighting dogs instead of Mike Vick? What if Arnold would've just let Tookie get life? What if Big missed the party? What if Pac missed the fight? What if you was caged in? What would you change then? What if there was no Rockefeller law for made men? What if hate ran through me? And what if Portland would've drafted Jordan instead of Sam Bowie? What if you really had to be nice to get a deal? What if all of these rappers, Ice was really real? What if I hit you with the razor from cheek to chin? What if Mike Jackson never would've bleached his skin? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more? What if the pain went away? What if you changed in a day? What if you could eliminate all the games people play? What if Shine beat the case? What if Diddy did a dime flat? What if Nelson Mandela could give his time back? What if Malcolm was silent? What if Martin was violent? What if you could really sneak a Uzi on an island? Yeah, what if I make you kiss a Nina? What if a brick was only just a misdemeanor? What if Manhattan was hit by Hurricane Katrina? What if a black man was the one controlling FEMA? What if we ain't never let emotions come between us? What if the last time we rode, somebody seen us? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more?
Yo,
what
I if? Flow calm but don't push. What if Saddam hung Bush? What if one mic was called one hook? What if the bridge never showed me how to hold a weapon? What if I ran up in that sick chick with no protection? What if I never wore that army jacket? Carhartt to match it, unlaced Timbs, the hood on my first album cover under plastic. What if I was another corny rapper? What if I went instead of Notorious? Who would tell my story after? What if I loved less and lust more? If Obama was on Rushmore, would Ozzy get tight in a bus drawer? What if I never glared out that project window or never was scared for the life of me and my kinfolk? What if that gun pin broke? I would've never leaned back in the end zone, all red. What if real niggas was all dead? What if Hillary and them was reptilian? And 2012 was the end of men and all world civilians.
What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question, can I ask them once more? What if you never knew things that you needed to know? What if you never been places you needed to go? What if you get there and learn